Welcome to Session 6 of the Performance Project. With you again, this is Jen Verheeren of jenverheeren.com and Cadence Coaching. Now that you have clarity about what you want and are armed with an understanding of how emotions work, we get to move on to strategies for cultivating courage. Since courage is really the gateway to all the higher energy states like acceptance and willingness and joy, courage is really where we need to get to over and over in order to learn, to thrive, to achieve our goals, and to enjoy life. The word courage comes from the Latin word cor, which means heart. It originally meant to speak one's mind by telling all of one's heart. So really, courage is about honesty and acceptance, and then moving forward with clarity. All the strategies that I'm going to share with you in the next two sessions work, but they require a high level of commitment and a willingness to really do the work. None of this is rocket science. There may be nothing in here that you haven't heard before, but my request is that you approach these strategies with a new level of understanding and ownership for where you're at and what you want to achieve. And also with faith in what you are truly capable of. In order to feel confident and free, we all must cultivate courage first. So here goes. Courage is not about being fearless. It's about acting despite fear and uncertainty. Courage is not a personality trait. I repeat, courage is not a personality trait. You have the ability to access it and strengthen it no matter who you are. Courage is in all of us. To be courageous is to stay closely connected with who you are at your core and embrace your talents and your imperfections fully. Remember in week one, we talked about the fact that the fear cycle can be most efficiently interrupted at the level of your mind. Your emotions are the result of your thoughts. So instead of trying to stuff or stop your emotions, you actually want to intentionally and repeatedly train your brain so that your thoughts reliably inspire higher level emotions when you need them. The intention here is two-pronged. Number one, to get really good at processing emotion like we've talked about so that fear and anxiety don't hinder your ability to perform. And number two, to get good at accessing courage when you need it by intentionally retraining your brain. You might be tired of hearing that by now. The following practices are what I've discovered to be the most effective tools for getting into the zone and for overcoming fear and self-doubt. They help you fill your mind with thoughts that inspire energetic calm, so there's no room for automatic negative thoughts and your inner critic voice. They are all really powerful. Choose one or two to focus on at a time. All right, so practices to access courage. Number one, know your big why. Jim Lohr is a sports psychologist who studies human performance and works with elite athletes and musicians. He's conducted studies that show that the thing that distinguishes elite athletes from mediocre ones is a very clear awareness of why they do what they do, what the sport means to them, and why winning or doing really well matters. I find that when you enter a competition or a stressful challenge, no matter what it is, having your big why in the front of your mind helps you rise above your inner critic chatter and habitual concerns. It gives meaning to what you're doing and helps you stay above the fray. In order to really know your big why, you need to be able to articulate it and write it down. It also really helps to get it out of your head and share it with at least one other person. Your big why is so important. You might think you know why you do what you do, but it's easy to get caught up in menial concerns, comparing yourself to others, and self-doubt when you don't have your big why front and center. So ask yourself, what is it that really matters about your riding, your goals, and the things you want to achieve? How do you want to feel? What does it mean to you in the big picture? Remember my client who wanted to qualify for the USDF National Championships in Kentucky? She was really nervous about it. She felt like it was unattainable, and her inner critic kept telling her all the reasons why she shouldn't even try to do it. She didn't know if she could afford to go. She didn't know if her borrowed horse would be ready. She wasn't sure her marriage could withstand the demands her goal would make on her time. She felt there were a lot of forces working against her. When she uncovered her big why, at first, it just helped her focus on the bigger picture rather than all her concerns. She realized that what her goal was really about for her was living a regret-free life. She didn't want to feel like she was leaving things on the table just because she was scared or lacking confidence. She didn't want to make decisions based on fear or based on what-ifs anymore. And then later, when she was diagnosed with cancer, as she was preparing to go to Kentucky, that big why came to have even more power. She told me she just plain wasn't going to die regretting that she hadn't taken every chance and opportunity she could. She said that when she wants something, even if it seems out of her league, she just needs to know she's given it her all. Even when the outcome isn't what she'd hoped for, she's learned that it usually turns out better than she had imagined. Her big why has lifted her up and pushed her forward during some of the hardest and some of the best times of her life. What is your purpose that motivates you to push past the hard stuff? What lifts you up above the fray and helps you focus on the big picture? Take some time to think about this and write it down. Number two, have a mantra. The definition of mantra is that it's a line or a phrase, it could be a phrase from a song, that you say to yourself repeatedly in order to help you shift from one emotional state to another. Now, mantras traditionally help people focus their thoughts during meditation or religious ritual. For our purposes, we want to create a mantra that shifts our emotional state. Mantras are reflective of a core belief or value. In this case, you want your mantra to inspire emotions that help you access courage, or help you access joy, or a sense of calm, or a competitive fire, whatever you need. What is your mantra for your particular goal? The one that you've made during this program. Your mantra can be something an instructor said to you once that has stuck with you. It can be a phrase from a song or simple words that help you stay focused and connected to your horse. A mantra is not directive. It does not remind you about what to do. Heels down or relax or more inside leg are not good mantras. They don't inspire and shift. In fact, as riders, we often have a running soundtrack in our heads reminding us of all the things we should be working on. And this, of course, is a necessary part of the learning process. At some point, though, you want to trust your education and your knowledge and be able to hold thoughts that will take you to a higher level emotional state. Some examples of mantras that my clients have had are, I am the storm, let it be, it's just you and me, rockstar, stride by stride, and let's dance. I worked with a trainer once who was feeling particularly frustrated with herself in warm-up. She kept thinking about what all the people around the arena must be thinking about her, and she truly felt that she was making a fool of herself. And, of course, it's beside the point, but she was a highly respected, very capable trainer. But she was so distracted by her thoughts and her thinking about what other people thought about her that she felt she was riding ineffectively, especially in the warm-up. So her mantra became, the people that matter want me to succeed. The people that matter want me to succeed. This is so powerful. Instead of feeling judged, she felt supported and super clear about what did not matter. I have another client who has a particularly hot and reactive PRE gelding. She would get reactive when she was riding him and needed a mantra to break that cycle. Her mantra became, like a duck. Every time she said it to herself, she could feel stress and nerves wash away like water off a duck's back. At the first show she went to after she'd started using this mantra, she had people coming up to her asking her what she had done because they'd never seen her ride so well. That mantra really took her to a place of calm and equanimity that had been elusive to her on that particular horse. I recently worked with another rider who was frustrated that she was riding very conservatively in the show ring. She knew that this was due to her desire to be perfect and to the fact that she felt insecure when her horse's previous owner would show up quite often to watch. She felt tight and restricted when she was competing in a way that she did not in the warm-up or at home. She habitually got small in the competition ring. So her mantra became, "Watch me." This inspired in her a feeling of pride and ignited her big why, which was to prove her to herself that she could ride her horse as well or better than anyone else. She even had "Watch me" put on a bracelet so that she'd have that reminder with her whenever she needed it. After you've used a mantra for a while, you may find that you need a new one. Evolve, change, it's okay. New challenges will show up all the time. You may also find that you need different mantras for different horses or different situations. Get in the practice of using mantras to help you focus your thoughts and get into the zone in a variety of situations. When I teach mental skills clinics that include riding, this really cool thing happens. Once the riders have a mantra or have come up with one for them, the mantras make an obvious difference in the way they ride almost immediately. All the directives that ordinarily run through your mind while you're riding because you think you'll forget to do them if you don't say them over and over to yourself in your head, all those things just happen. Those things that you think you have to remind yourself about, they just happen. A mantra will help put you in an emotional and mental state of focus that will allow you to remember all the things you know without even thinking about them. Certain position problems and training issues will simply go away because you are mentally, physically, and emotionally present and engaged. Mantras help teach us to trust our own experience and education. The automatic negative thoughts that go through your head when you're nervous can often serve as a barrier between you and your horse. You place your focus everywhere but on the present, and this can create anxiety for some horses. Some will just shut you out. I find that mantras, which are spoken or thought as if being spoken to the horse, are really a powerful way to strengthen the connection between horse and rider and override outside distractions. When my client Lynn used her mantra, "It's you and me, Rockstar," she said this in her mind to her horse, and she was able to forget about all the things that might happen and focus fully on the horse. She said she felt a sense of camaraderie and support with her horse rather than the sense of separation that was happening when she was thinking about all the bad things that her mare might do at any given moment. They both became less spooky and were able to enjoy their rides. I have a young event rider who struggles with getting nervous and overriding in the show jumping phase. She felt she was not fully allowing her horse to do her job and it was costing them rails. Her mantra became, "Stride by stride, be the canter. Stride by stride, be the canter. Stride by stride, be the canter." She repeated that over and over to herself during her show jumping rounds and in practice. It helped her slow down her mind and regulate her breathing. It helped her wait for the fences to come to her and stay out of her horse's way. She just completed her first intermediate level event with no faults in the show jumping. I'm giving you so many examples because people often draw a blank when they're first trying to come up with a mantra. It can be anything that makes you feel happy, calm, inspired, or pumped up. You'll know when you land it. You might feel your shoulders relax, or take a big spontaneous breath, or have a sense of peace come over you when you first say it. Think about the songs that you can't help but sing along to in the car, or quotes that you've heard that strike a chord. Once you've got your mantra, practice using it in all kinds of situations, not just when you're in the saddle. Remember, one objective is to have no room left in your mind for automatic negative thoughts or your inner critic voice. So when you notice them sneaking in, go immediately to your mantra and let it do its magic. This is a muscle that you'll develop over time. Commit to using it regularly and changing the way you think in order to change the way you ride. Number three, cultivate your inner coach voice. Your inner coach is the voice of your dreams, your ambition, your wisdom, and your truest beliefs. It is the voice you need to cultivate in order to dialogue powerfully with your inner critic voice and move into a state of courage. When you've clearly identified your inner critic voice, as we discussed in session two, you'll be able to recognize it right away, check it, and replace it with your inner coach voice. Your goal, your big why, your vision, and your core values all speak the language of your inner critic. Knowing them and having them clearly written down will help make them easily available to you when you need to redirect your thoughts. Again, this is a muscle built over time. Articulating your value, claiming your wins, and believing in your own success are practices that will both help you strengthen your inner coach voice and will be the outcomes of cultivating your inner coach voice. So I encourage you to keep a list of your weekly or daily wins and practice truly accepting compliments or acknowledgement from others. These things may be uncomfortable at first, but you'll quickly get used to them and feel the power of trusting your own inherent value and being able to stand on the shoulders of each win that you have. The objective here is for your inner coach voice to become louder in your mind and for your inner critic to take a back seat. Confidence lives in the front seat with your inner coach. Number four, identify your power persona. Who are you when you access courage? Describe your power persona. Do you embody characteristics of someone you know, a role model you admire, an archetype, superhero, or a character from a novel? Remember that your power persona is not about being someone other than yourself. It's about claiming, developing, and magnifying your most deep-seated qualities. There was a period of time when I was really challenged by transitioning my teaching and training business to coaching. I had to say no a lot to judging and teaching opportunities. It was hard to explain to people exactly what I was doing, and I found myself spread thin and allowing myself to be talked into things that I knew were not in alignment with my goals. Basically, I was having trouble saying no. Years ago, I'd seen a clip on TV of Oprah sitting in her office on the phone, saying no to someone who was asking her for something. She was clear and to the point and kind, but clearly fierce about protecting her time and her energy. So she is still my power persona when I'm in situations where I need to have clear boundaries and say no to protect my energy. I shared that with a business owner recently who needed some gumption and courage on the phone with business associates. She said that now she conjures Oprah whenever she needs to make a tough phone call. I often ask riders, who are the riders you admire? Sometimes it's their own trainer or a friend. Other common answers are Stephen Peters, BZ Madden, Charlotte Dujardin, and Buck Brannaman. When I was eventing, my cross-country power persona was Mark Todd. I will never forget the feeling of confidence and courage I got watching him pilot his 15-hand charisma around cross-country at the Olympics. Who makes your heart stop when you watch them ride? Who do you admire? Is it their presence, their suppleness, their confidence? These are not things that you don't have. They're qualities you already possess that you can cultivate and strengthen by stepping into your power persona. Next time you're in the saddle, conjure your favorite rider and embody those qualities that you most admire. This session and next are all about giving you a vast kit from which you can pick and choose the tools that work the best for you. I just shared with you four, and I'm going to share with you four more next session. Please don't feel overwhelmed by all these ideas coming at you at once. Choose one or two to focus on and really let them sink into your bones. Like any unfamiliar tool, they may feel uncomfortable at first. I wasn't kidding when I said this was a crash course. We could spend a month on each of these. I encourage you to also let a friend or your trainer or instructor know what you're working on so that they can help support you and give you some reminders when you need them. Okay, you're now armed with awareness about how your emotions work, clarity about your goal and what you want to be able to do, and now some strategies to use to get there. So go play, and I'll see you in session 7 for some more ideas.